That team sure did suck last night. They just plain sucked. I've seen teams suck before, but they were the suckiest bunch of sucks that ever sucked.
Steve Rosenbloom.
There was a keg stand I lost to an 81-year-old lady. She got off the ninth floor but it was really close.
Mark Grody.
I've been waiting to get a hold of this guy for years. Channel 2 News is out there interviewing people. Yeah, I've been talking to my wife about getting Steve. He once connected my dots and boarded my plane. I'm going to dunk his ass.
They suck, so you don't have to.
Can't you morons do anything right?
Founding members of the WB Club.
Smoke weed every day.
The three words that describe this show, and I quote.
Stink, stank, stunk.
It's Saturday Suckage on the Score.
We should be 670 WSUK.
And I apologize. What is your name? I don't know who you are, the host.
Welcome in. It's Saturday Suckage. I'm Steve Rosenbloom. Let's take roll and see who else is here. Grobber.
It sucks and it freebases.
Don Cooper.
If I think something sucks, I'll tell you it sucks.
Jake Arrieta.
This sucks. Really, it does.
Albert Almora.
Damn, Willie, man, do we suck?
Eloy Jimenez.
Hey, you guys not gonna make anywhere. You guys suck. And when I got traded the next day, oh, welcome to the Suck team.
Toby!
Oh my God, this sucks!
Random Bears fan.
Trey
Bars!
Finally made a list of somebody who thinks he sucks besides I do.
Liam Hendricks!
I wouldn't say seeking perfection, it's just mainly trying not to suck.
Julie Swyka.
Man, that sucks.
And now, this musical interlude from Avenue Q.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be me.
No.
It sucks to be broken, unemployed, and turning 33.
Wilson Contreras.
Losing suck. I'll tell you that, and that's all I can say.
Garth? No. George Wendt. I suck.
We had fun, but there you go. I suck.
I suck. Garth Algar.
Turn it off, man. Turn it off. It's sucking my will to live.
I'm even reading from a paper, and I suck when I'm reading the roll call. Steve Dahl.
Disco sucks. Disco sucks.
Candace Parker.
I mean, it sucks.
Roquan Smith.
Yeah, man. Sucks.
Les Zach Levy.
Sucked to have game one.
DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it just sucks.
Future Justin Fields coach Mike Tomlin.
It all sucks. It's not degrees of suck. It all sucks.
Josh Allen.
Sucks. Losing sucks. Sucks.
Bob Costas.
I also don't understand, or maybe I should just applaud you, for having the self-confidence to label your own show Saturday Suckage.
Robbie Triano.
Hello, Chicago. I suck as well.
Yeah, we all suck, so you don't have to. Welcome to Saturday Suckage. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealer. Our phone number here at the Score, 312-644-6767. That'll get you to our listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. That number, 312-644-6767. Also gets you to the Score's text line. And the 773 texter who texts every week now at exactly 4 minutes and 20 seconds to go before the show kicks off has apparently spiked. There's a bong full of texts and he is waking and he is baking and he has gone on and we'll attempt to patch it together. So, here's the NFL news you need today. There's NFL news. There's always NFL news. And there's NFL news now, Bears fans. Game of Musical Quarterbacks is on. Russell Wilson flew east He was going to meet with the Steelers. But by the way, as long as I'm here, hey, New York Giants, let me meet with you. He met with the Giants. A couple other names are in the news, courtesy of Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, a score regular, by the way. So here's something from Tampa Bay's announcement yesterday that the Bucs brought back receiver Mike Evans. And what Pro Football Talk had written is the Bucs want Baker Mayfield back. Baker wants to remain a Buck. The likely outcome may not happen till after Mayfield gets a chance to see what he's worth or isn't. What's available to him, what isn't. The Tampa Bay GM was saying a lot of the team's pending free agents know what the market is at this point. I think the start of negotiation period is really something. It's really almost the same as the start of free agency because they're already talking and negotiating. So as we get to Monday, any of our players that aren't signed, it doesn't mean they're not coming back. It just means that maybe we've got an agreement that, hey, they'll see what their worth is. We'll have a disagreement now and then try to work it out later. Monday is the first day of legal tampering. Wednesday is the first day you can make all your announcements. And it's a shame because you can legally tamper and you've got a lot of stuff locked down potentially. So we won't get the idea that Lovie Smith showing up at Julius Peppers' house at midnight the day free agency opened. That's what he did. So, Mayfield's out there, according to Pro Football Talk. The team to watch most closely is the Vikings. If Kirk Cousins leaves, Mayfield becomes a viable alternative. Minnesota witnessed his abilities in Week 1 when he led the Bucs into U.S. Bank Stadium for an upset win capped by a gritty, shoulder-lowering first-down run and a key third-down throw to Chris Godwin. The question becomes for the Bucs, as it currently is for the Vikings and Cousins, whether the player will give the current team a chance to match the last best offer of another team. At some point, the player might be tempted to go to the place where he feels more wanted. The Bucs, like the Vikings, know they might need to move on to another quarterback. Ha! Huh. So, because everything around here is viewed through the Justin Fields prism, that's where we are. A door that closes, Kirk Cousins has been rumored to Atlanta. Kirk Cousins has been rumored to now potentially Tampa Bay. Maybe the job, I don't know, anywhere, everywhere, whatever it is. Musical quarterbacks, it's all a lot of talk right now. So then you say, well, what does this mean for Justin Fields? Because when a door closes, there's got to be somewhere open. That's the way you play musical chair, musical quarterbacks. And you go to, if you're Ryan Poles, you go, okay, well, who lost the Kirk Cousins Derby? I mean, and this happens with all the quarterbacks. But can you really have a Gardner Minshew Derby? Is there really such a, like a Jacoby Brissett Derby? Is there such a thing? So somebody who can't draft a top quarterback is going to be interested. Now we approach Monday. And an hour less of that because we're springing forward tomorrow at 2 in the morning. Yeah,
Robbie. Oh, no, I totally forgot.
Yeah,
oh,
see, it's a good thing I'm so smart. I'm here to remind you.
I do suck.
Yeah. So the 1 hour less as we approach the Monday legal tampering period, does Ryan Poles believe he has to make a deal by then? Does he believe that he has to make a deal by Sunday night? Before that, whatever tampering, whatever, they're on the clock. Oh, by the way, the Bears are on the clock. Did you know that? Mark Grody, who's the host of On the Clock, will be on the clock here in about 15 minutes talking about the Bears, and he does the show on Fridays, On the Clock, and he'll be doing it every Friday. That show is called On the Clock until the Bears are no longer on the clock. Right? Isn't that the way this works, Robbie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, wait, we're on the clock?
We are on the clock.
Oh, that's good.
We're on the clock until 2 o'clock. So anyways, does Ryan Poles believe he has to do something with Justin Fields by Monday? What do you think? Is that a real deadline? Does he have to do something before free agency? I mean, if he's worried about Fields' value bottoming out, and it was already soft, so we've heard. Does he not force himself, which would seem to be the smart thing to do? Does he just sort of like you're floating your home mortgage rate? You're floating the value of Justin Fields. Float it. You don't have to lock in anything. He's under no obligation to trade him, by the way. And he probably shouldn't. But that's the way I see it. I don't know the way he sees it. How important is it for Ryan Poles to make that deal, to make Justin Fields go away? I don't think Justin Fields has to go away at the minute. Not right now. His heir is not in the building. It may be in the draft. His heir may be in the building to visit Caleb Williams comes by. But there's not an urgency to get rid of Justin Fields. Unless there's an urgency in Ryan Poles', unless he really thinks this is going to bottom out. But it can only get better. You just have to ride the waves of it. Because all the free agency quarterbacks are going to sign somebody. Teams will not have that guy that they want. And then Justin Fields becomes from worth nothing on Wednesday when free agency opens to worth what? The day of the draft. And the what is what Ryan Poles has to solve. But if he thinks the second rounder is going to be out of the question, not only now but later, and somebody gives him a third and however he makes the deal, he's got to come out with an extra draft pick. Certainly a higher draft pick if they swap picks. If it's Fields and a 7, then he has to get a 3 and a 5. He has to get an extra draft pick or he has to get a better draft pick. And it's a really hard thing to imagine trading Justin Fields at a time when teams can sign quarterbacks and not lose draft capital. It's just money. And they found out how much more money they have now. Quarterbacks are more affordable. So while that sits and hangs, as you wonder how, because Ryan Poles moved early last year. He moved that first overall pick, and he brought in DJ Moore, and he brought in essentially Darnell Wright. And so we got a question to ask, too. One of these next 2 weeks, we'll have Kyle Long on. And is Darnell Wright, does he dope out as a left tackle? We'll ask Hub that. Hub will be on at noon. Grody, we'll ask him that. 11:25, Hub at noon. And do they dope? Are they a left tackle? It's easier to find a right tackle. Should be. Darnell Wright was terrific in his rookie year. So he'd be going through another rookie year as a left tackle. Do you do that with Caleb Williams? Meanwhile, there's this news recently, this morning, from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. The Bears hosted free agent safety Kevin Byard on a visit yesterday, a source said. The source was probably Kevin himself, because that's the way some of this stuff works. The former All-Pro was with the Titans his entire career. He went to Middle Tennessee State, the mayor of Murfreesboro, as he's known on Pro Football Reference. So he was traded to the Eagles last season. He had in 16 games, he had one interception and one fumble recovery, 80 solo tackles. Bears missing Eddie Jackson are going to be going after a tackle or safety. So that was the news today. That was the Bears visiting with one of the safeties, and there are several quality safeties out there. It seems that would be the way to go. I mean, safeties, cornerbacks get paid. We saw that with Jalen Johnson. Safeties get cut. I don't know if it's worse to be a safety or a running back. What do you think? What does it look like so far?
I think running back. But really? But safety, there's not good enough to play cornerback.
Simmons, you've got an all-pro safety who was cut. Saquon Barkley, cut. I mean, is it worse being a running back or a safety in the NFL these days? But being a cornerback is good. Jalen Johnson will tell you. And good for him. And good for Ryan Poles. You know how good that is, the whole idea? That Ryan Poles is keeping that locker room. The players know. The players always know who can play and who can't. Players always know who's tough and who isn't. And Ryan Poles paid like his second guy he didn't draft. Cole Kmet got the deal. Cole Kmet, arguably, some numbers will tell you in the last couple of years, he's a top 10 tight end. Jalen Johnson, Pro Football Focus will tell you, and whatever they're worth, and it's really hard to believe some of the stuff they put out there. But he's the top cornerback. He was his passer rating against was so good, like 33, that a quarterback would have had a better rating if he just took this, taken the snap and spiked the ball to stop the clock. He would have had a higher rating than that. That's how good Jalen Johnson was. You get paid. If you work hard, I mean, the word in the locker room, you know how that works in the NFL locker room. That guy worked, he got paid. He worked, he produced, he got paid. That's what it is. Now, moving on to another report from Ian Rappaport, the Eagles are accepting calls to trade defensive end Josh Sweat and edge rusher Hassan Reddick. Well, the Bears got a lot of Hassan Reddick at one point, right? So, Philly always, they always have pass rushers. That's what Howie Roseman does. So is there another Sweat that now, can they have Sweat and Sweat? Would the Bears do that? Would they make that deal? Would they got some dwindling, I mean, you could say they have dwindling draft capital. Even though they got two first round picks, number, sheer volume. So now you're looking at, the same way you're looking at with Justin Fields, do you want quantity? Ryan Poles tends to go for quantity. He's got quality right now, but he likes, boy, as the day gets the third day of the draft, second day of the draft, he's just piling up picks. But Philly is taking calls on two guys who can rush the passer, and the Bears need help rushing the passer. And that also means that Philly probably has, they probably believe in Nolan Smith, but he's not as established as, say, a Josh Sweat. And that means Howie Roseman would be in the same market for players, pass rushers, game-changing guys as Ryan Poles. I'm not really thrilled with that. I like the idea of what Ryan Poles tried to do, but he failed. He signed the three technique. The key player in Eberflus's defense, that's the guy we need, Larry Ogunjobi, and then the Bears medical, they flunked him. Steelers didn't. And the Bears have been looking for that guy ever since. By the way, Philly's got Jalen Carter, the guy that Ryan Poles was afraid to draft. Do you think that it casts Ryan Poles as a man afraid to take risks? Or did trading another second-round pick, this time for Montez Sweat, after he screwed up the Chase Claypool trade, does that show he's a risk taker? He's willing to trade another high draft pick. The Bears could use that pick, but they've certainly got a premier player and they paid him as such. They still need the three technique, and we need Les to tell us about the three technique, and we'll discuss that at some point. They need somebody to disrupt things. They need that guy. And free agency, it's not appear to be the place to find it. Maybe they have it on their roster. You know what? We'll ask these questions and discuss this with our next guest. My next guest, dang it. His name is Mark Grody. He covers the Bears for The Score. And he's the host of a regular Friday feature, the near award-winning On the Clock. And do you know why it's called that, Robbie?
Wait, are we on the clock?
Not us. The Bears
are
on the clock.
Bears.
I love the way he's doing that in interviews and just standing there. Bears. Bears. Next, Mark Grody, Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
All right, I give up, Robbie. What was that? Let's get flip all the cards.
Bears.
Okay, I bring on Mark Rohde, and after decades, I'm used to Pearl Jam and Dirty Frank and The Howl, and then we get whatever that was. Hi, Mark.
Sounds to me like somebody has not been listening to the radio station enough. If you don't know exactly what Robbie Triano was getting at there.
I didn't know there would be a pop quiz, so why don't you share with the class?
Well, Robbie, is it possible that you might be able to bring up the moment? As you know, but maybe you don't know this, Steve. I understand you have a life, so I am not ripping on you. I covered the Combine recently, and there was a pack of 75 people interviewing the presumptive number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. I don't even want to call it a scrum. I was in this massive humanity with reporters and listened very closely to what happened.
Bears? No?
Bears?
No. Bears?
Bears.
Oh, hold on.
I screwed up. I got the wrong
hold one. Hold on. That's not the one. That's a good one, too, though. We could do that one after the...
Now I know. I did hear that.
I heard you
with the code word Bears.
Yeah. I'll explain that one as well, because I would like to.
Oh, my
to,
God.
But you have to hear the main entree, though. Again, this is around Caleb Williams and me and my microphone.
I didn't see the bear on the front, but, it's kind of
fun.
Okay.
We need to hear it in full context, but anyway, all right, the other one too was, I was sitting in one of the massive convention halls in India where they put the media. And they sometimes these restaurants from Indianapolis will come in and they will serve us just so we talk about them and we all benefit. So this is what happened with the folks who had offered me some food.
Yeah. What took you guys so long? Seriously. You're hiding in the middle.
We're wiping our tears away.
This is beautiful. Thank you very much. It's very nice of you guys. Yeah, thank you. Bears. Bears? No?
Bears?
Bears. Bears.
Bears?
Bears.
We can't do that.
Oh, no. Bears. No bears? Bears.
Oh, no. No bears.
Okay, I missed the restaurant. I missed the dinner show.
Yeah, you did.
I missed the main entree.
It's not hitting right now. I apologize, Steve. But I will say this to both of you guys, that I listened to you a little bit earlier. There was one technicality that I would like to correct both of you on, and that is you mentioned my on-the-clock program, and I really appreciate you doing that every Friday from 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And you said that the show will go until the Bears are off the clock. That is incorrect.
Oh.
Because, as you know, Steve, Robbie, you're off the hook because you weren't here at this time last year. But, Steve, you should know that last year we did this show as well. 3 weeks after the Combine, essentially 4 weeks into the program, the Bears made a trade of the first round pick, yet on the clock, still cooked. We still banged. We still continued.
Still banged.
So it didn't stop after that. So in other words, I will just say that the on the clock is on the clock until on the clock is over.
Until it's off the clock.
until it's off the clock.
Okay.
So nothing will stop us. Nothing. A DJ Moore trade last year could not stop us. Nothing will stop this program. And as a matter of fact, on the program last night, check this out. It was pretty big, I thought. Brian Baldinger was on, Baldy's Breakdowns, Odyssey Insider, all that kind of stuff. He said he believes, and I shouldn't even laugh, I just haven't heard it yet. He believes that Roma Dunze is the best wide receiver in this draft, and it's not Marvin Harrison Jr.
I heard that, and I heard him talking about Caleb Williams, and I wanted to, I love him because of his breakdowns are so, they're common sense, they're so easy to follow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that back, but as long as you went there with him talking about receivers, and that it's not Marvin Harrison Jr., who some people are saying is the best player in the draft, period, end of story. So what was his Odunze has such a in contested balls, he has such a strength, and he's got really good technique as far as that's concerned, but he doesn't, a lot of people ascribe to the bloodline. So share with the class the highlights from Baldy's breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, and I would definitely invite you to still listen to it. Don't let me hijack a segment that you were planning on doing later. So I would definitely promote that if you were to play Brian Baldinger a little bit later on. But I think he looks at the full package. Great hands, great separation, the go up and get it fact, which is a little bit of a difference from what you're getting from DJ Moore, who is excellent, and you're definitely your number one wide receiver who is on that other side, at least to start the season. So I think that it's just there. He's got it all, like the full package. The speed is ridiculous. You mentioned the go up and get it. There aren't a whole lot of things that you look at when you look at the weaknesses in the weakness categories that all the draft people put together. You're going to see stuff, but it's almost like it's made up. So, and also, not to mention Brian Baldinger said that he's the best receiver in the draft. Dane Brugler didn't say that, but he does have the Bears moving up in his latest mock draft. Dane Brugler from The Athletic moving up to 5 to get Roma Dunze. So it's pretty interesting the way all of these the heavy duty draft people are looking at Roma Dunze, and he is making his move up the board. And just for the heck of it, just from being at the combine, one of the most interesting guys to talk to in the entire combine, and that accounts for a lot of people and a lot of players. So, and I know people put that in the end, can he play? Can he catch the football? Can he produce? Can he make my quarterback look better? And then, oh, by the way, he's a really great guy too.
Mark Grody is my guest. He's on the guest hotline presented by Circus Sports Illinois. We're talking, he covers the Bears. He's also the host of On the Clock, which is on the clock and will remain on the clock, even if the Bears aren't on the clock, but they're on the clock now. And with the Bears on the clock and free agency set to clock in on Monday, at least the legal tampering period, and then officially open with the league year on Wednesday. Let me ask you what kind of pressure there might be on Ryan Poles, do you imagine, with, you just pay money for quarterbacks out there, and for Justin Fields, he'd be asking for draft capital. Is there an urgency, do you think, with Ryan Poles to make a deal before Monday, or is it just sit and wait and float the market?
Unfortunately for Ryan Poles, he put the pressure on himself day one of the combine when we all gathered around him at the Hilton Hotel in one of those big hallways, mm-hmm. because he said that he wanted to do right by Justin Fields. He repeated that several times, and I understand that. That's good of him to do and to say and to express publicly, but because of that, he may have kind of put himself in a corner to where he is not going to get what maybe the value should be pound for pound for Justin Fields. Now, there's all these hacks within this trade and the whole situation because of the fact that everybody in the world knows that the Bears want to trade Justin Fields. So what value are you going to get to begin with? And then Ryan Poles saying that he wants to do right by him. You know, I'm conflicted because I lean more towards the camp of, if the best you're going to get for this guy is a fourth round pick, God forbid a fifth round pick, I don't know if I want to trade the guy. I don't know if I want to just give Justin Fields away. And I know it wasn't this regime that traded up to get him at number 11, but You're talking about giving away for a fourth or fifth round pick a quarterback who most people who, and even though we haven't seen the demand be that high for Justin Fields, most people think that he is starter caliber in the NFL. A starting quarterback in the National Football League, and the best you're going to get for this guy, whose ceiling I think is still relatively unknown to a lot of teams, the best it feels like you're going to get right now is a fourth round pick. I don't think that that's good enough for Justin Fields. And I'm also in the camp of people who believes that while it would be awkward and unideal to have Justin Fields in that locker room with Caleb Williams or whomever your quarterback is, but I'm also in the league that says that all parts are mature enough to do it, and the idea that it's impossible and you can't do that, while I get it, I do think it's plausible or possible or livable to have that happen, just knowing all the characters involved.
I believe I'm lobbying for that. I'm lobbying for that. I've said a month and a half ago, I wanted Fields here, I wanted Bajent number two, and I wanted Caleb Williams in the role of Patrick Mahomes sitting there. I don't want him talking to Matt Nagy the way Patrick Mahomes apparently did all year, and then finally getting a start in game 17, but that's what I want.
Hey, man, I mean, look, let's put it to the test. One of the things that none of us have ever backed away from, at least I think, reporter-wise, is I think a lot of us have critiques of Justin Fields, fair or not, but one thing none of us have critiqued is Justin Fields' personality and his ability to get along with people and his ability to lead and his ability to be likable. Okay, all that is there. If that is all true, then Justin Fields can handle that. And again, it's not ideal, and I wouldn't want to be in that predicament. But these are adults, and this is a big-time sports, and this is a big-time market. So the idea that you just summarily put that down, say, no, you can't do that, while it's not the option that I desire, I would prefer that Justin Fields be traded, and you don't have to worry about that. But your team is probably better with Justin Fields on it still, and Caleb Williams, and as you said, Tyson Bagent, and everything that I've seen and I've reported and I've said for 3 years about Justin Fields is that he's not the type of guy who wouldn't get along with somebody, especially in a situation like this.
So let me, because you're familiar with Justin Fields and the ebbs and flows of his game, but yet the way he has approached the media or the public face or
the
meteor. The way he comes across.
Uh-huh.
How would you compare and contrast that with what you heard in that big group listening to Caleb Williams and, well, Bears, while you were doing that, in between doing Bears, and you listened to him, did he sound sincere, or was this football Eddie Haskell? Hello, Mrs. Cleaver. Yeah. That's a wonderful Bears jersey you have on.
Right. Was he pandering?
Yeah,
he
being, right. So what did you make of his? Honestly, you know Justin Fields is authentic. So what did you make of Caleb Williams?
Yeah. You know what? I thought he was great. And it's possible he was fooling all of us and he was just doing a performance. But, you know, when he got up there, it just looked like he was ready for it from the second he got up there, and he kind of coughed a little bit just to clear his throat because he knew he'd be talking for a while, looks up at us and just in a very enthusiastic way says, well, good morning. And I think he was, I mean, he had to be, that's why this is a difficult question to answer. He had to be ready to answer those questions. He knows that people were there to hear it. He knew that if he was going to do the media thing, this would be one of the areas that people would judge him, and people like me and not even worried about what's going on the field, he would have been judged by every single person at that combine. So he knew, he had to have been coached for the questions he was going to get. He may have even practiced the answers that he was going to give to these questions. 100% he was coached. He did come across, though, pretty naturally. There was a cockiness, a confidence in him, the good cockiness that was flowing from the words that he was saying, even right from the beginning when somebody sort of sabotaged him with the "Are you afraid to compete?" question, and he was unflustered by it. So on the overall, he was very good. But I'm not going to look at this meeting with the media and say, yep, that's the way he's going to be with the Chicago media every Monday. I mean, we have a way of breaking quarterbacks down, unfortunately, at Hallis Hall in that little media room that we all converge in after games. So we'll wait. We'll see. We'll see what he's like once, you know, he's having to do media sessions two or three times a week and he becomes the quarterback of you know, what most people consider at this point the largest media market in the NFL.
Before I let you go, the report from Ian Rappaport today, the Bears hosted Kevin Byard, who was free agent safety.
Uh-huh.
He spent all of his career with the Titans until he was traded last year to the Eagles, had one pick, one fumble recovery, and they're in the market for a safety. There is quite the wonderful safety market out there. Is this just the first of what figures to be a parade? You find the best price you can at that position that seems to have been devalued the way running back is? Or what do you think the Bears are going to do?
I think the Bears are probably looking for a 1 or 2 year deal for a safety, for a veteran safety on whom they will not overspend. I mean, I'm always saying that. Think about it the way it was with Eddie Jackson when they were always just trying to find the right pair for him. Luckily, they had Adrian Amos in that rookie contract, and he was a great pairing with Eddie Jackson. And then when he became too expensive, i.e. free agency to the Green Bay Packers, they bring in, you know, a perfect name like Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who I believe was a one-year deal with the team, and they paired him with Eddie Jackson. Then it was fine, nothing great. I mean, those two, I thought, played a little bit too similarly. But then you brought in another guy in Tashaun Gipson on another, 1 or 2 year deal to pair with Eddie Jackson. Now I think it's a matter of finding guys to pair with Jaquan Brisker. You know, another name, too, that the Bears just signed yesterday, Tavarius Moore, can't be the guy that they are thinking about, but I think that they will bring in bodies like that, like Tavarius Moore, who didn't really play last year. You do have Elijah Hicks on the roster, who I know they like, but I don't know if they like him as a full-time starter. And then there's the wild card too, Stephen. This is something that Dave Wanstead has brought up, and I had another NFL person suggest this to me without me even asking about it, and I wish I could think of who it was. It's not like I'm trying to keep secret sources here on this one. But Wani brought up the possibility of, hey, you should consider maybe putting Terrell Smith or Tyreek Stevenson at safety, and especially Terrell Smith, just because he is, you know, it appears that he's the backup to Tyreek Stevenson. Could Terrell Smith do it? I don't like that idea because that I believe in the word of premium position, and that's what cornerback is. And if you've got good cornerbacks like Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith, I think you leave them at cornerback. But I think all options are open at safety right now, and the cheaper options open at safety right now.
I'm not real thrilled with the way I love the idea that you can make a cornerback the way teams treat shortstops and pitchers. It's like, if I get shortstops, I can play them anywhere. If I got cornerbacks, I can play them anywhere.
Yeah.
The Bears haven't shown the ability. They, you know, with Gordon, they showed they can't have a guy adapt. They can't have him split his time. He wasn't really good at it. Just be happy that you have somebody who plays and is an ascending player at a premium position.
Yeah.
And stop trying and go find somebody. Go find a veteran who can make Jaquan Brisker not just better, but smarter, because I have every reason to believe that Jaquan Brisker is going to be a stout leader on that team, in that locker room. I think he's that kind of guy. Do you?
I do, but there are things that worry about me about Brisker, about the way he plays. He does play with some reckless abandon at times, and we know that he has had he's had at least one concussion, and he's been, you know, he's had some rough injuries too. I mean, nothing that has really sustained, but that's the only thing. I mean, that's the only thing about him. Other than that, I think that they obviously love Jaquan Brisker. We know that Eberflus loves Brisker. And, you know, the big tackle machine game that he had last year. Remember when Flus was like, it looked like me out there.
Yeah.
But so they like this guy. But, you know, Ryan Poles is smarter than me. He's looking at Jaquan Brisker, and he knows that this guy's got to stay healthy. But he's going to get the benefit of the doubt. He was part of Ryan Poles' first draft class, and if you can continue to build this core of defense like they have done, obviously with the signing of Jalen Johnson, you have a core guy. Montez Sweat, 4 years, $98 million. Tremaine Edmonds is a core guy at 4 years and $72 million. So if you keep, and then if they lock in Brisker, you know, next year or even this year, who knows? I mean, you are starting to set your defense up for the window in which you are winning. And I know we all want offense to be the thing, and that's what I want. But just don't, you know, take a look at what Poles is doing. And I know his predecessors have been good at building defenses too, but it's a pretty good core that they're putting together.
Mark, I appreciate it. You'll be on the clock Friday, and the Daily Score will be on every day, every morning.
Listen to you, man. You're getting it all right. And if I may, I will be on tomorrow morning, 9 until noon, right here on the Score, talking Bears and whatever else is on my mind.
Bears.
Bears. Bars.
Thanks. Mark Grody.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bears.
All right. We take a break. When I come back, more NFL talk. Hub will be here at noon. We'll talk more football with him. But there's more NFL talk. So, of course, it involves Michael Jordan. And if I have time, we lost a legend, and I have a story, and I'll bring that to you. Saturday Suckage, Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's Saturday Suckage on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Say, where did we go? Hi, Ben Rosenblum, man. No, that's not. Saturday Suckage, welcome in, welcome back. NFL talk, of course, involves Michael Jordan. It has to. Michael's everywhere. We look through the prism of Michael Jordan. And this story involves Hall of Famer Dwight Freeney. He was on the Zach Gelb show on the Odyssey platform. That's this very radio station, part of the Odyssey platform, about how Freeney learned he was voted into the Hall and how he got tricked into dressing up for it.
I mean, my wife lied to me the entire week. I mean, I can't believe she can keep a secret like this. I mean, and Michael, I'm good friends with MJ, and his golf course, right, is a great course. One of the great parts about the course is you don't really have many rules. You know, the only rule is just don't be slow, don't be a jerk, let guys through when they come to you, right? So you can wear whatever you want. So every day, my outfit pretty much is like T-shirt and shorts, you know, might wear flip-flops, who knows, but I'm really, really casual. So leading up to that week of the week of when, and I was going to find out, Michael says, hey, I got a photo shoot next week. And I need you to dress up nice for it, you know? And I'm like, oh God, I got to dress up. Here we go, you know? So I dress up getting ready for his photo shoot. And I walk to the door and I thought in my peripheral, I said, was that Coach Dungy inside?
Wow,
that doesn't make any sense. I open the door, Coach Dungy sitting right there, the biggest smile on his face. And I see my wife, I see MJ cracking up in the back. I said, man, I take pride, honestly, in not being that guy who gets caught in by surprise. Or, man, I had no clue. Absolutely none.
Michael's money. Michael's there. Somebody else's Hall of Fame. It's okay. Michael will help you out there. Michael will be part of the prank. I love that. Dwight Freeney being talked into dressing up because Michael said so. Well, you listen to him. All right, 815 texter. The realization that I'm actually broke, unemployed, and turning 33 this month gives me reason to listen to Saturday Suckage. Thanks, Steve, Connor, and Brookfield. I love that. I love that. 630 texter, I suck, you suck, we all suck. Thank you very much. 312-644-6767 is the Suckage text line. And I want to share a story. We lost a legend this week. If you're an NFL fan, you know who Chris Mortensen is. He is a legendary reporter. Chris Mortensen was reporting on the Dodgers in the 70s. And the 80s, and he went to cover football and he became a legend. He was breaking stories on the Dodger beat while John Lowe was getting credit for inventing the quality save But Chris Mortensen was an animal on the beat. Chris Morton was such an I worked with Chris Mortensen. Everything you've heard about him as a professional is true, and everything you've heard about him as a professional is only gets to half of how good a human being he was. He died at 72. Cancer took him this week. I worked with him at the National more than 30 years ago. They hired the best they could. Mort was certainly part of that. I was simply a bat boy at an all-star game. They brought us all together in January of 1990. We were going to start publishing the 30th, the 31st, I don't remember which, somewhere in the middle of January. They wanted to test run the presses, the computer system, the laptops, everything they gave us. So they brought us to New York. They put us in hotel rooms, said, after we run this test, just make sure everything gets filed, done, and we can put headlines on it, stuff like that. Then we'll all get together for a party. So Mort is there among the rest of the 100 of us or whatever there is. And it's a dress rehearsal. That's all it is. All right, make up something about your team. Send it in. It's a dress rehearsal. And Chris Mortensen, in a dress rehearsal, broke the news that Keith McCants was going to turn pro. He was going to leave Alabama and turn pro early. In a dress rehearsal. It became such an item that AP reported it and credited the National newspaper. And Dave Smith, was the sports editor of the Dallas Morning News, was livid. That's not a newspaper. They haven't published. There's nothing in print. You can't call them a newspaper. He's mad that his staff got whooped. His ass got kicked by a guy doing a dress rehearsal. That's how good Chris Mortensen was. He broke news in a dress rehearsal. We will talk to Habarkish after this break. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.